kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you about the cross, which I believe we can never have enough of with regard to teaching. And I've got a title for today, and that is, When You See the Lost, Think of Jesus Christ on the Cross. When you see the lost, think of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, when we are moving around and whatever we're doing or wherever we go, whether we go out or be at work or it's for our family, whatever we're seeing and whatever we're facing, is that person who cannot get to God in any way, any other way, if that person cannot get to God in any other way than the cross, that then it's invalid and it's futile. In other words, whoever you are seeing or whoever you're burdened for, whoever in the family, your loved ones, your closest ones, whoever it would be, if you are not seeing the cross there for them, then you are assuming that they can get to God in some other way or form. And this is very easy to take this attitude on board. And the reason being is because so often our emotions get in the way. And emotions and feelings do not save souls. They do not save our loved ones. So, with regard then to this title that we're talking about today, when you see the lost, think of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is the cross that is the focal point for evangelism, witness, and so on. And yet we can so easily leave the cross of Christ out of our witness. And we're going to look at some of this today as to how we can actually do this. Now, one of the reasons that we have this problem is because Christians do not understand the cross. They don't understand it because they too are to take up daily their cross and follow the Lord. And unless that is taught in the house of God and believers are beginning to understand that they too have their cross that they take up, we will never really fully understand the cross that our Saviour took for the sins of the world. Why am I stressing this? You know this very well, but turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John and verse 32. You all know this well, John 12 and verse 32. And he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So in other words, what he's saying, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Listen to what the next verse says. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And we all know what death he had, and we all know how he died. He died on the cross. And that verse in verse 33 is often left out, In verse 32, you hear many say, oh, lift Jesus high and withdraw all men unto him and so on. But how is it done? What is really lifted up? It says, signifying what death he would die. So we're dealing with the death of Jesus. We're dealing with the cross. This is the wisdom and mind of God. And that's why a lot miss this and don't understand it. We want to talk about the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, but that is not what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to proclaim his death, the cross. Now, there could be a number of reasons for that, but it is at the cross that God dealt with sin. It is at the cross that God dealt with death. It's at the cross God's wrath was revealed. His wrath was appeased. There God was reconciling man to himself through the cross. And it cannot be achieved in any other way. And so he says, because of the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, he says, that is what you lift up. And he says, if you lift that up, then I will draw all men unto me. In other words, your evangelism, your witness will be effective. That is the power of the gospel. And I'm not sure many really see that these days in contemporary Christendom. And you know why? Because so many Christians don't really have a real biblical understanding of the reason why Jesus came and died. It's just based on emotions and sympathy. And if it's based just on emotions and sympathy, then there's absolutely no need for it. There's no need to mention about the cross. There's no need to mention about the sacrifice and what he paid if it's based on emotions and feelings. And that so often is what hinders us from seeing the cross that actually lifts him up. You see, the problem is that sin and unbelief has done horrendous damage right through generations. We have no idea what sin had done to us, how it had damaged us until we came to Christ, until we came to the cross. And we're still learning, aren't we, after all these years of walking with the Lord, just what sin has done and how it has damaged. And that is why God is restoring us. This is why the deeper life teaching is healing and deliverance, because of that. But the only way we get that healing and deliverance is that we never lose sight of the cross and what it cost him. Because sin and unbelief has done horrendous damage. You see, if you think you're helping people by your sympathy and even by your emotions, I'm going to tell you, you're an enemy of the cross. Because it's simply proving that you do not have that right standing with him in relationship. If you have that right standing with him in relationship, you will know about the cross. You will have a revelation, an understanding of what it cost him to reconcile man to God. And that is the point. And that burns in you. You are a product of God's grace and mercy. He didn't have to save any of us. God first loved us. And when we begin to see this, it brings us to the cross. because that is the mind and wisdom of Almighty God. And that's why the world, and even sadly a lot of Christendom, really doesn't understand the cross. It's made today as an ornament, or something you just look at, or it's set in a church, and so on. Little understanding of what it's really about. So we need to remind ourselves what the cross is. And the way we understand the cross is when we too understand the cross that we take up and follow daily and follow the Lord. He has achieved it at Calvary, and now we continue it in his likeness. Of course, we don't do it in a redemptive manner like he did, yet our witness, our prayers, our intercessions are all redemptive in nature. We supplicate, we ask God to have mercy and forgiveness, just like he asked his Father that over your life and my life. So it is a continuation of Christ's ministry now in and through each of us. But let's remind ourselves what the cross is for us. You see, the deeper life is the acceptance of the crucified life, which is that self-emptying. We call it, let's remind ourselves again, we call it the kenosis experience. The same as Jesus emptied himself of being God, he emptied himself and took on the form of a human being, flesh. And that is why he has two natures, divine and human. You have one new nature that's made anew in Christ. And there's the difference. So he had to divest, he had to empty himself and take on human form and the limitations of the human form, the flesh. He had to learn in his flesh. He had to learn to walk by faith, to trust his Father, and so on, just like the same with us. So the cross is the deeper life, and it's that self-emptying. Why do I stress this? Because the self will always get in the way. This is why God has to present the cross to us. Because only the cross can deal with self, you, me, so that the will of God can be accomplished in and through us, because we're not going to do it otherwise. So only the power of the cross, which is the wisdom and mind of God that dealt with Christ being that perfect sacrifice for us, so we likewise now in the Spirit by faith allow the cross to do that work in and through us for the purpose of dealing with the self life or the selfish life. Now, of course, we all know that in FGA. Now, the problem is, if you have a problem with the cross, or you don't really want the cross in your life, or you are resisting some areas, then you're going to find in your walk, you're going to have mental anguish. You'll even have depression, anxiety, frustration. Why am I saying that? Because you're very seldom tasting and experiencing the joy of this walk and the victory that we have. In other words, it becomes a drudge. You should experience what the cross is producing. Because if there's death, what comes after death? Resurrection. And so it's that resurrection that is working in your life, which is your healing and deliverance. The same as the resurrection raised Christ from the dead, defeating the enemy. So it is the same with us, but spiritually, as we too take up our cross daily and follow Christ, which he says we're to do. But if you are resisting it in any way, it will become a drudge. You will no longer know that joy, the sweetness of God. You will no longer know the power and the victory working in weakness in your life. Because that's what the cross does. Now, this is the mind and wisdom of God. Let God be God. He knows what he's doing. This is why the cross is a stumbling block to so many and its message. But this is the wisdom and mind of God. This is what the apostle was laboring with the church at Corinth. You read in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. It's speaking all about that. How we receive the word. Do we receive the letter in the carnal or in the spirit? That's the question. You see, we've got a lot who will talk about the cross. Yes, they'll even teach it about it, but very few actually experience it. You won't have much of this teaching around on the cross that we're sharing. And that's why it says in Galatians 2:20, which you know so well, but we're just read it again just to remind ourselves, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, the apostle is saying, I am identifying with Christ. I too am taking up my cross, like he did, but I do this in the flesh. In other words, I'm not literally going to that cross like he did, but I am taking it up in the flesh for the purpose to deal with the flesh life, which we battle with. And only the cross can deal with that flesh. Nothing else can. And that's why he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, empowers us so that he can recreate that work of the cross in you and I. As I said before, if you want to take up your cross and follow him, and you mean it, you don't have to think about crucifying yourself. You'll find it'll start working. The Holy Spirit will have a way. He knows how to do it. So let's remind ourselves again then what the cross should be doing in our lives. And the first aspect is crucifixion is separation. Crucifixion is separation. And when a victim was nailed to the cross, they were separated from the world. They hung there, separated. And that's what he does. When you take up your cross daily and you follow him, he will work separation in your life. What does it say in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And that's the work he's done. So that work that he does is, the first thing is, he separates us from the world. Because you will never walk this walk if your life and your heart is still in the world. This was what God was trying to get out of Israel. He was trying to get Egypt out of Israel's heart, but she still lusted. She still wanted to go back. She revealed that. And how was that exposed? It was exposed through trials. Trials reveal where we are with God. But it's not all lost. Even if you find in a trial some pretty awful things manifest, that is a chance to confess and to get it under the blood of Jesus and ask for forgiveness and healing. But the problem that Israel made was they didn't do that. They complained, they moaned, they griped. They were not a grateful people. So very often our exposures through the cross working is in fact to work that healing and deliverance. And that's why we make so much about confession, coming before God, being open before him. Bring everything out into the light before him. Hold nothing back. Because he knows. You can't hide from him. We stand naked before him. And he sees the weakness in our lives. Very often he's waiting for us to come to him, to open up to him, to come with that right heart and spirit. And that's why sometimes he makes us desperate. And he uses situations. Because you see, when we come before him, when we repent and we're sorry for what we've done, we have to show the fruit of repentance. And we don't always do that straight off. We come with just lip service. But God has to work that from the head to the heart. And how does he do this? Well, crucifixion is that separation. You've got to come away from the world, its influence, its deception, its lies. Much of the world out there is a lie, is a deception. So he says, the cross will separate you. The second aspect about the cross that we too are to take up is that, secondly, it's for suffering. And often the victim suffered intense agony before death brought relief. Now, these sufferings that we go through can include sufferings in our trials, our tests. They can also be sufferings on behalf of others. And thirdly, there is a suffering where you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. And we start to get some clues to this, for example, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, and he says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And we also know very well in James chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, James chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, he says, James, a bondservant of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then he says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So our trials that we go through then, secondly, the suffering works this perfection. Now, this is not a sinless perfection, but it is a perfection that is accepted before Almighty God, because he says, be perfect even as I am perfect. So we see, secondly, then, that the cross we take up is for suffering. Sometimes we can suffer on behalf of others. We stand in the gap. Or there is the sufferings of Christ, which, in other words, the sufferings you're going through are directly targeted to Jesus. And very often that can be through the religious system, where religion, sadly even Christianity, can persecute. The world hates the word of God, and so on. Or simply just the world, its sin, and everything can attack you. But what it's really doing, it's attacking Christ in you. So these can be various sufferings that we can go through, as well, of course, personal ones or physical ones or whatever it will be, or the trial of our faith. So secondly, then, crucifixion is for suffering. Remember, we're talking about the cross that you take up daily and follow. And thirdly, crucifixion means death. And we first have to die. In actual fact, there are two aspects to the Christian with regard to death. The first is that when you receive Christ as your Saviour and you become a new creation, you die that the new life of Christ may dwell in you. So it is a death to what you once were. And you become a new creation. In other words, the Holy Spirit recreates that new birth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But there's also a second aspect to that, which the cross that you take up daily and follow means that it is a death. And this is a death to the self-life. This is where you allow the Holy Spirit to deal with whatever is in us that puts Christ second and not first. This is why God has to work with our will. It says he works with our will both to will and do for his good pleasure. And he will use sufferings and trials in which to work on our will, so that our will is submitted to the will of God. We have to be in harmony and unity and oneness with God. Whatever is God's will is my will. Whatever he requires of me, I yield over and I do it. I don't resist the Holy Spirit. And that takes a work. And so that is what he does through, thirdly, that death of the cross. You see, the cross had to bring death for Christ in order for resurrection. He didn't remain with the dead, but he rose. And that's the good news of the gospel. And so God works that within us, that as we come to the death of self, to the death of those weaknesses and sin in our lives, then we experience the resurrection power, which is the healing and deliverance. Are you still battling with things in your life? Yes, you are. But the good news is that the cross that you are to take up and follow, that will bring a death eventually to it. And then resurrection, which is the healing and deliverance. And this is why I keep saying, stay with it. Keep coming. Keep listening to the word, because it will happen. So many Christians want a quick fix it. Oh, pray for me. Cast this out or whatever it is. And there is a place, don't get me wrong, for casting out of demons. But very often it's because God is trying to get you also to take up your cross daily and follow him, so that he can start to do that deeper life and work in you. There's no shortcuts to any of this Christian walk. And this is why the Holy Spirit's come baptizing us, empowering us in reproducing the crucifixion, the death that Jesus Christ physically went to. He has now come baptizing us in the Holy Spirit that to recreate that in the Spirit now for us. And that's why we call it the kenosis experiencing, the self-emptying. And so this is how he can begin to heal us and deliver us and move these obstacles from our life, these things that we still battle with. That is why we make so much of the fact that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And remember this also, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit will not touch one area of your life where you are not willing to die and give it up unto death. Forget it, it's not going to happen. So maybe you're being challenged that God wants you to give this up, but you suddenly realize, I like this too much. There's a problem. Well, then tell him. Tell him, I like this too much. I like this. It seems more than I love you. But help me. Have mercy on me. Help me to come to that place so that in my heart I give this up for your glory. Do you think your Heavenly Father is going to turn his back on that if you mean that before him? Of course he's not. Because he knows. Many times our Father is waiting for us to be open and honest like that before him. Because we're so good at acting. We're so good at pretending and living lies. But God has a way in his mercy and grace to reveal what is really there. And so that we can come before him and start to be honest in his presence. There's a lot of dishonesty that goes on in Christendom. And it's got to be purged out of the house of God. If ever we're to see the power of God return again in the last days before Jesus returns. So the Holy Spirit is not going to touch any area of your life if you're not willing to die on the cross. Any more than he can compel us to love God. We have a free will. That is a gift given from God. He's not going to compel us and force us to love him. He doesn't do that. We have that free will. We choose to love him. We choose to follow him. And even that is a gift. Even God's worked on that. This is why I say the mystery of all of this is that you're called from the foundation of the world. And the only way you will know if you're called is that you stay with it, you remain faithful with it. And that is a sign you've been called from the foundation of the world. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Too many Christians are coming and going and coming and going, and they've never settled it. You've got to sit down and settle it with God. Am I going to build this house? What sort of foundation is it being built on? At the moment, it looks like sand. But Lord, help me. It's not going to survive if it's built on sand. It has to be a firm foundation. The only way it's going to stand is when it's built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. You have to settle it. And this is what the cross does. And I remind you again of this title, when you see the lost, think of Christ on the cross. And we will start to see what evangelism should really be. We will start to see again, like the early church that turned the world upside down because they had such a revelation and understanding of the cross of Jesus Christ, that has to be restored again in these last days. Because you start to sentimentalize it, you start to change its message, and you no longer are a friend of God, you become an enemy of God. This is his message. In our flesh, we don't like it. It seems harsh. The cross is not a pretty sight. It was horrendous. The vilest offenders were put to the cross, and our Saviour was put to the cross along with them. But God says this is his mind, this is his wisdom, this is what he wants proclaimed. You may be finding and asking yourself, oh gosh, I don't think I've ever heard this quite like this before. Ask God to drop this from your head to your heart. This is why it's good to go over these messages again, to listen to them. Because it causes one to pray and to seek the Lord. Because if the word of God doesn't change us, nothing will. Trust me. This is why the word of God is a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. This word knows how to penetrate into our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful. And it can only take the word of God to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And thank God for that. And that's why we come to the cross. And you will only understand the cross is teaching, lifting it up, as we're told to do in John 32, when you too are taking up your cross daily and following the Lord. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and understand how it's going to be worked or accomplished. All God does is he challenges us and says, do you too want to take up your cross and follow me? And if it's yes, that is the way, you will find the Holy Spirit will begin to work it. Trust me. Yes, you'll get some trials come. And those trials will expose some pretty bad things in you. You didn't realize you still had those bad swear words coming out in a trial. Well, God's exposed it for a reason, because he's going to get that blasphemy out of you. Or somebody's done the dirty on you and you didn't realize that you could muster such hate and resentment. Yes, that trial is a deliverance for you to get that hate and resentment out of your heart. I could just go on and on and on with this. And that is what your cross that you take up as well does in your life and my life. Because it has to bring death to those things in our lives. And only the cross can deal with that. Nothing else can. You can listen to 1,000 sermons. They'll be of no use to you unless you allow the power of the Spirit of God through the cross that you take up each day to put to death those things that are not pleasing before God's sight. And we all know we've got them. We've all got those areas. We know they're there because we battle them. We battle those weaknesses. But the good news, brothers and sisters, is The cross of Jesus Christ will deal with it. As you take up your cross, and all you have to do is settle it with God, and the power of the Spirit of God will deal with the rest. And you'll begin to find you're getting that healing and deliverance come. You'll find that your relationship is growing so deep with Almighty God. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Because this is what the cross produces. After death comes resurrection. See, God isn't going to leave us in a state of death. That's for the flesh. That's how he deals with it. But in the spirit, we get that deliverance. And you'll know when you're delivered because there's a joy, a peace, a blessing. You're not battling with it any longer. It's miraculous. These are the miracles that take place in our lives. So there we are, brothers and sisters. When you see the lost, think of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is what they need to hear. They don't need to hear straight off your testimony or what God has done for you or whatever it would be. No, you go straight in with the cross of Christ and what it cost him. And God says, if you do that, then and you lift that up, then I will draw all men unto me. Because that is the key to our witness, evangelism. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to get this right. This is so important. Lord, work this from our heads to our hearts. Father, we thank you for speaking to us as you have today. Lord, help us to settle these things before you. We can so deceive ourselves. We can so come before you with lip service. But Lord, it's out of the heart, out of the depths of our heart that we want to communicate. We want to speak to you. And Lord, also help us to be still before you, to allow that healing and change and deliverance in our lives. Help us to settle the cross that we too are to take up and follow you daily, so that the life of Christ may be seen, that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who can accomplish and work this, because we're told it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And may it always be by the Spirit that these changes and healings and deliverances happen in our lives, because we know that the arm of the flesh cannot do it. And so, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for our fellowship. Bless my brothers and sisters, wherever they are around the world. Be with them, lead them, guide them. Give your angels charge over them. Keep them from the evil one, from temptations. And may the joy of the Lord always be their strength. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All life's done.